Om Adhyam Timinandhasya Jananjana Shadakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Jatapata Kamadam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanuste Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kuntalubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much for being here. I'd like to invite you, first of all, to move up, because latecomers usually like to avail themselves in the back. All King Pritchett, mainly the topmost transcendentalists who are above the regular principles and restrictions, take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada comments, the topmost transcendentalist is a liberated soul and is therefore not within the purview of the regular principles. A neophyte who is intended to be promoted to the spiritual plane is guided by the spiritual master under regular principles. He may be compared to a patient who is treated by various restrictions under medical jurisdiction. Generally, liberated souls also take pleasure in describing the transcendental activities. As mentioned above, since Narayan, Hari, the personality of Godhead, is beyond the material creation, his form and attributes are not material. The topmost transcendentalists, or the liberated souls, realize him by advanced experience of transcendental knowledge. And therefore, they take pleasure in the discussion of the transcendental qualities of the Lord's pastimes. The Prabhupada describes here two sections of devotees, those who are under the regulative principles and those who are beyond the regulative principles. Regulative principles means there are some things that we're ordered to do, or that we're advised to do by the scriptures and by the bona fide spiritual master. There are some do's and do nots, Prabhupada said. Especially among the do nots are intoxication, gambling, meat eating, and illicit sex. And among the do's are to rise early in the morning and to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The topmost transcendentalists, Srila Prabhupada says, are beyond rules and regulations. They don't need rules and regulations because they have a taste for the service of Krishna. They have a taste for hearing about Krishna, for chanting about Krishna, for remembering Krishna. So they don't need rules and regulations. The rules and regulations are, please put that away. The rules and regulations are meant for bringing us to the liberated stage. But a person who takes pleasure in serving the Lord, chanting the glories of the Lord, is already liberated. Or he's more than liberated. He's in the healthy stage of spiritual life because he's engaged in Krishna service. But we're in the world of material conditioned life. Conditioned means that our pure consciousness is adulterated by contact with material nature and material nature's qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Because we're in that compromised state, because we're, Prabhupada uses the word infected, medical term, by these qualities of material nature, some treatment is needed. Because we're infected, we don't have such a taste for hearing about Krishna. We don't have such a taste for serving Krishna. We may sometimes like it, but that's different from the taste that the advanced transcendentalists have. The advanced transcendentalists are mad about glorifying Krishna. They're absorbed in glorifying Krishna. And Prabhupada explained, it's because they have transcendental experience. Pudi Grahya Matindriya, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's said that they experience the absolute truth. They experience the personality of Godhead through their purified transcendental senses. Or as Prabhupada sometimes said, as we're seeing one another face to face, the pure devotee can see Krishna face to face. or they see Krishna in the transcendental self. They don't recognize any difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. So they experience the presence of Krishna by transcendental sound. And because they're experiencing Krishna's presence, they lose interest in material enjoyment. Living entity is by nature inclined to enjoy. But in the material world, we're trying to enjoy by exploiting the resources of nature, which winds up in our getting exploited by material nature or banged around by material nature. We try to exploit nature's resources, nature retaliates. But the pure devotees are beyond that. Their pleasure is in serving Krishna. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani. Iti rama padena so param brahma vihyate. The absolute truth is known as Rama. Because the pure devotees, or those who are in transcendental life, experience pleasure. Rama means pleasure, source of pleasure. The pure devotees, or the advanced transcendentalists, experience that pleasure. And therefore, they're not interested in the so-called pleasure derived from the dull modes of material nature, or the exciting modes of material nature. Ignorance is the dull mode of material nature. Passion is the exciting mode of material nature. Goodness is the enlightening mode of material nature. But even the enlightenment of goodness is pale compared to the transcendental enlightenment that comes from Krishna consciousness. So for the neophyte devotees, this taste is not yet realized. And therefore there's some regulative regime. As with medical treatment, there's a regime. You have to do these exercises or take these pills or whatever it is. So there's a, or practice. In rehabilitation, those who've been after surgery or whatever, there's some rehabilitation so that they can regain their ability to walk or regain their ability to function normally. So for the conditioned souls, there's a rehabilitative regime. And because we're, I know what I'm like as a medical patient. I don't like to do this stuff. It's called patient non-compliance, isn't it? Patient non-compliance. It's the biggest problem with treatment. The treatment is fine, it works, it's tested, but the patient is notoriously non-compliant. But when the patient is compliant, then they'll quickly make progress. So there's some regime or some treatment for the conditioned souls. And we're asked to agree. We're asked to agree. Please follow these principles. Prabhupada initiation. What principles do you agree to follow? What principles do you agree to follow? No one can be forced. No one can be forced to follow. But the person, then how do we agree at all? It's by good fortune. By good fortune, one has an interest in spiritual advancement, or one acquires an interest in spiritual advancement. And by further good fortune, one comes into the association of devotees, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, or who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. And in that association, one being becomes inclined that these devotees are experiencing something. I'd also like to experience that.
they realize something, I'd also like to realize that. Then he's told, well, there's a process to do that. And then if one agrees, then under suitable guidance, one takes up the practice to avoid the things that will hold us back, to accept the things that will enable us to advance. And by doing that, the unwanted things in our hearts are gradually cleansed away. That's the benefit. There's also a quick and dirty way to do it. You don't follow the regular principles, you just pretend. You can make a show of how much taste you have for chanting the holy name, or how much taste you have for Krishna consciousness. And maybe even convince yourself that you're making a lot of progress. But if we're not following the process, then it will be, it will be shaky, or it will be superficial, or transient. You know, today I'm in ecstasy, and tomorrow I'm thirsty for a beer. It goes up and down. But if one is serious and a good association follows these regular principles, then one gets a taste for those principles even. Instead of thinking, oh God, I can't do X, one starts to think, thank God I'm not doing X. Instead of thinking, why can't I smoke or drink or whatever it is, one considers oneself fortunate. I'm so glad I escaped that. I'm so glad that I'm not enslaved to that. One considers oneself fortunate. Instead of thinking that I have to chant so many times, one looks forward to chanting so many times, or more than so many times. Vayam tu na vichrityamaha uttama shloka vitrame yaj trinvitam nasa gyanamana svadhi svadhi kade. Those who have a taste, those who require a taste, say, we can't get enough of this. Vayam tu na vichrityamaha, we can't get enough of this holy name, we can't get enough of this Krishna Katha. Rupa Goswami says, only 2 years, only one time. What chanting can I do? What hearing can I do? I wish I had thousands. I wish I had thousands. Those who are engaged in kirtan, they just want the kirtan to go on and on. Or those who are hearing it, Krishna Katha, they feel, this is so nice. For those who speak about Krishna, they feel, this is my opportunity. Not because they want to be glorified, oh, you spoke so nicely, but because they enjoy speaking about Krishna. Just to speak about Krishna or to hear about Krishna is purifying for the person who speaks, the person who hears. So the Prayena Muniya Raja Nivritta Vitti Shedita Nairgunya Stana Namante Smaagunan Kashmir. There's a lot more that can be said about this.
Don't bother her. Just be patient. Just be patient.
Just be patient,
please.
There's a lot more that could be said, but I wonder if you have any comments or questions that you'd like to put forward. Yes.
What was the picture on the cover of Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers that you showed us?
Excuse me?
What was the picture on the cover of...
What was the picture on the cover of Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers? This is the hut in Sridhar Mayapur where Srila Prabhupada was doing his bhajan before they constructed the first building, what's known as the Lotus Building. It's been elaborated a little bit since Srila Prabhupada was there. But that's the place, and something like what that hut was like. It's also been photoshopped a little bit. That's what's on the cover.
As far as following the regulative principles are concerned, wouldn't it be easier, one read the books, wouldn't it be easier to follow the regulative principles and one hears the glories of the Lord to know why they should restrain themselves in certain things, and what is the science of Christian consciousness?
The books are enlightening. We're not unreasonable. We're not just saying, you should give up these things because we want you to suffer, or you should accept these things because it's good for you to suffer. There are reasons. Everything's reasonable. So by reading the books and understanding the philosophy, one gets good reasons to follow these things. And also, just by hearing, even if one doesn't follow the reasoning very closely, one's heart becomes purified just by hearing. So sure, the books are not just for publishing, they're for reading. And we see that the people who read the books do become inclined to take up the process, or to stick with the process. Something else. Yes. Shesha Prabhu, I'm sorry, thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for the
thank you, Shesha Prabhu.
Are you describing a transcendental pleasure? Now, not having experienced that, is the experience of the advancing devotee different than material pleasure? In other words, material pleasure lasts for some time, doesn't last forever, but at least you know it lasts for a certain period of time. So when you start to experience transcendental pleasure, how do you know the difference at the beginning of that experience of transcendental pleasure?
How do you distinguish that the experience of transcendental pleasure may seem like material pleasure? From one point of view, we may not. That a person comes to our University of Florida lunch program, and as far as he knows the food is good. The food is good. So it may seem like the same experience, but those who are knowledgeable in the science know that this is a different quality of food. It will have a transcendental action. Or a person comes and he likes the kirtan because the drummers are really cool. And he sits there and studies the beats. But those who know the science see if he's become attracted to the kirtan, and the kirtan will act, even though he may think it to be of the same, just sort of another version of what he's accustomed to, maybe. But it's different. And very quickly he may experience that it's really different.
You know, what do you guys put in the food? Or he, in one way or another, he starts to feel that this is really of a different category. This is a lot better. And as he takes up the process, he may notice that the chanting is not accompanied by the letdowns of material experience. Material experience, you do it, and the more you do it, the more stale it becomes, or the more you have to pump it up to get something out of it. But the chanting of Hare Krishna just gets better. The more you chant, you know, if he sits there for 10 minutes, it's nice. If he sits there for half an hour, it's still better. And the next day it's better, and it's always fresh, it's always new. And that's a transcendental quality. Material pleasure has a diminishing effect. So he may experience that. They may come to understand that my material pleasure was dependent on certain circumstances, on certain substances, on certain material conditions. But this chanting I can do anywhere. There's no limit, and will always have effect. He may even come to understand that even if I don't always experience it, it has value. So in the beginning we may not understand. But by hearing, by experience, or by being informed. That this thing that you're experiencing, which to you feels just like having a good time, like a really nice party or a really nice something to do, is of a different nature. He's informed. Like a person who's informed that it may taste like ordinary food, but it's been fortified with vitamins and minerals, and we even put your medicine in there so that you don't have to take your pills. Your medicine is right there in the food, and that's what's curing you from your whatever it is you checked into the hospital for. So he may not experience it, but he's informed. And if he trusts the doctors, he says, well, I'll go on eating this and following this routine. And then if he really follows it, he starts to experience, I'm getting better, I'm getting stronger, it's good. Yes, wherever. I don't have a preference about where the microphone goes, wherever it wants to go. So over there.
You were speaking about feeling good about chanting. There's also, we have to take into consideration offenses.
Yes.
And to be aware of them, because you could have a little taste to chant, but then you're committing so many offenses that you kind of lose your taste.
Yeah.
Can you comment on that?
Yeah. In the beginning, of course, the first thing is just to chant. If we become too worried about offenses, then I better not chant because I might commit offenses. So in the beginning, we ask everyone, please just chant. Let's chant Hare Krishna. But then as one is practicing, again, one is advised that there's a quality to chanting. And the Śrīla Prabhupāda explained, quality means to avoid 10 offenses. And we're told that that by avoiding these offenses, you'll get the real effect. And by committing these 10 offenses, you'll have a diminished or eclipsed result. So then one who's serious about chanting thinks, let me avoid these offenses. Especially anyone can understand that meditation means focusing the mind, and meditation on the Maha Mantra means focusing the mind on the sound.
so not focusing the mind. In our usual terminology, it's called offensive, or in other terms, you could say it's just bad practice. Bad practice. If you want to get the result of meditation, then you focus your mind. And by just letting the mind wander and not focus, we're not going to get the result of that meditation. Or from a different angle of vision, the holy name Krishna is Krishna himself. So we want to please Krishna, we want to think of Krishna, we don't want our minds going elsewhere. And this is, in one sense, the essence of the practice. So we really want to try to do that. It's also very important to avoid offending devotees. Because if we want to please Krishna, then we don't want to criticize those who are dear to Krishna or offend them. Is there another question? The microphone is going somewhere. Yes.
Thank you for very nice answer. I really like when you said you can convince others and you can also convince yourself that you are good at what you do. And I was just wondering if you want to elaborate or tell us a little more about how to get out of that situation.
The situation of cheating oneself. It can be very hard because mama maya dhiratriya, and because the mind is a pig. Obstinate and sometimes dirty also. The mind is really the problem. And the mind is expert at telling us that we're great, that we're doing it right, or that whatever we're doing is reasonable, it's justified, it's sensible, it's under the circumstances, blah, 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 blah. The mind is, Anatmana truth, who's Shatru Tve, Partitatmaya, Shatru. But the mind is, when it's out of control, is our enemy. And that's the enemy that we have to deal with, the uncontrolled mind. So all of these regular principles are actually meant for helping us come to that enemy in the form of the mind. Good association is especially helpful to associate with devotees who are more advanced, to hear from them, to become purified by practicing in their association, to be inspired in Krishna consciousness. All of these things will help, and to be introspective, to look at ourselves from time to time and say, you know, where am I really? And to hear from the spiritual master and from the advanced devotees with a view toward improvement. If our view is toward maintaining our attachments, that's another unwanted practice or another offense, aparadha, or unwanted thing, to be determined to stay where we are and not go forward. Krishna consciousness, in what sense, the excitement of Krishna consciousness is going forward. Staying where we are is not all that inspiring. Plodding is not all that great. Or treading water is not all that great. But when there's always something more, something further, whether it's accomplishing something for the service of Krishna or the spiritual master, or whether it's getting rid of something within our hearts that we really need to get rid of, whether it's detaching ourselves from something that we want to be detached from, or accepting something more that we can do. When we're moving forward, then we really experience more of the result of Krishna consciousness. It's not that we say it brings a state of ecstasy. Allen Ginsberg said it brings a state of ecstasy. It's an ecstatic experience. Ecstatic is the opposite of static. Static means staying where you are. And ecstatic means moving forward. So we're meant to move forward. And where is the microphone? Or is it staying where it is because it's had enough? Okay.
Thank you for your association, Maharaj, and thank you for the nice heart of talk. In the nectar of instruction, it says that you should not follow the spiritual rules and regulations for the sake of following, but for the sake of spiritual advancement. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that, and also to the degree of faith that we have in our spiritual master's instructions to obtain the desired result.
The degree of faith we have in the instructions of the spiritual master, what?
To obtain the desired result.
There's. The point about rules and regulations that Rupa Goswami makes is that we shouldn't be just fanatical followers of rules, that we become so preoccupied with rules that that's what we think of. We don't think of Krishna, we think of rules. And that we look for more and more rules to follow how to follow all the rules more and more precisely, just because we're rule conscious. We're rule conscious. And there are whole religious orientations that's what they're all about. All about rules. All about doing the rituals, just so. All about bowing in the right direction or wearing the right clothes or saying the right thing at the right time, or rule. And the more you follow the rules, the better your life becomes. That's one side. And the other side is, why all these rules? The hell with the rules. Spiritual life isn't about rules. It's about love. So I'm not going to jump off the port side of the boat like a fool. I'm going to jump off the starboard side. So that's two forms of niyamangraha, to be a nut about the rules on one side, and on the other side to think that the rules don't matter. So faith in the spiritual master is important because the bona fide spiritual master prescribes the right level of rules. Srila Prabhupada prescribed 16 grams. I was hearing this morning he was talking about those who were criticizing him because we don't prescribe 64 rounds. And in Prabhupada's opinion, they didn't understand that to help people in Western countries at least advance, 16 is like an appropriate number because they're not accustomed to sitting for long stretches and chanting. Maybe 5 in other cultures. But here, 16 is a big deal. 16 is a big deal. So Prabhupada wasn't stuck that 60, got a big number in front of him, 64. And that's the goal. The goal is to become Krishna conscious or to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And for some people, 64 may be the magic formula. And for some other people, 16 may be the right number. Or for people who are not accustomed to 16, whatever you can, 1, 2, 4. And we gradually come to the standard of 16, which Prabhupada said was minimum purpose of disciples. So not to be mad after rules and regulations, and not to make up for it. Is that okay? Yes?
Young people or young devotees actually have a lot of passion. And so when they come to Krishna consciousness, they have all this passion and enthusiasm, quote-unquote enthusiasm, because that's the nectar of instruction, utsa and nishtha. How are they supposed to differentiate between the passion that they have and all the activities that they're doing in Krishna consciousness, and what is actual Krishna consciousness?
Well, they don't have to differentiate. They just have to do what they're asked. You know, I don't have to differentiate. Am I distributing these books out of passion, or am I distributing them out of something, out of spiritual inspiration? I just have to do it. The passion engaged in Krishna's service will be spiritualized. Someone is passionate. You know, he always wants to do something. He always wants to accomplish something. Go, do, achieve. Fine. We don't have to sit there and get Freudian about it. We just have to connect it with Krishna. Someone is studious. Someone likes to read books and do scholarly work. We don't have to say, how do you care if you're sitting there or not. Do it for Krishna.
But as far as their own self is concerned, how would they make an assessment? You know, because everyone likes to assess.
Why assess? Why spend so much time assessing? Do it. You're right. If I go out and distribute books for an extra 6 hours, is that going to be passion? Or is that going to be, you know, just do it. Don't get mental. Spiritual masters say go out and distribute books. Go out and distribute books. The discrimination is needed if I have to make a decision about doing something other than following the spiritual master's instruction. There's something. But the ordinary, the most important, the thing to keep in the forefront is, what does my spiritual master want me to do? What does he want me to do? And all right, if we want to discriminate, am I considering carefully? That's all. Passion means just doing without thinking. And goodness means thinking, using your intelligence. So just that I'm using my and best intelligences to understand that my intelligence is limited. And therefore I have to act under superior guidance, under the guidance of the spiritual master, the scriptures, the advanced devotees. And not get excessively preoccupied with slicing into little bitsy pieces my internal workings. Because then one falls into another trap. One is so preoccupied with one's own inner workings that he forgets about Krishna. Or he forgets about the purpose that he's been asked to fulfill. Instead he becomes preoccupied with, well, am I eating this rice cooler for sense gratification, or am I? He can't eat a chapati because he has to analyze first his motives for eating the chapati. So one can get carried away with that. On the other side, one can be so lacking in discrimination that one doesn't consider anything one does and becomes robotic or in some other way doesn't use his intelligence. He thinks that using the intelligence is somehow against the regulative principles. So neither side. As far as the understanding one's motives, one's qualities, they're described in Bhagavad-gita. What are the qualities of intelligence and passion? Intelligence and goodness. Intelligence and ignorance. What are the qualities of work and goodness? Compassion and ignorance. And also, what is the nature of transcendental intelligence, transcendental work? Sadhunan Samiti Chaitan Bhagavad Gita. When one is engaged always in Krishna's service, then he'll be flying beyond the modes of nature. And that's the desired.
Well, how would you know the balance between how much activity you're actually doing and the amount of hearing and chanting you should be doing to actually help you focus directly on Krishna?
At least one should do the minimum. The prescription is there. The spiritual master, again, prescribes, at least hear and chant this much. At least 16 hours. At least attend the Bhagavatam class or hear this much. Then beyond that, that's up to you, but at least the minimum. You don't have to, it's not hard. It's not hard. Then if we have a taste, we'll chant more, we'll read more. That's wonderful, but at least the minimum.
Why is it that some devotees, it seems like they're going, rolling along very nicely, and then all of a sudden they're out
in left field? Well, there are a lot of ways to get out in left field. There's not just one answer. You know, he's committing offenses. He blasphemes devotees. He neglects the regulative principles. He meets Bhakti Susi. And she's got a proposition for him, or you know, whatever it is. There's lots of different ways to forget about Krishna. Right behind you.
Pleases the spiritual master, even if he doesn't strictly follow the regular principles, he can make progress in spiritual life, or it'll become easier if he serves the spiritual master without reservation.
Therefore, yes. Did you have a question? Was that a reservation?
Can you clarify that point?
Yeah. It's so, Prabhupada comments elsewhere that pleasing the bona fide spiritual master is the secret to progress in spiritual life. So that if we please the spiritual master, then we can skip so much regulative principle following. We're moving forward fast by faster methods still. Instead of just, well, okay, now I do this, and now I do that, now I throw three drops of water over my left shoulder, now three drops over my right shoulder, then I three chant three Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, something like that. Instead of that, if we please the spiritual master by our service, we automatically become advanced. Fast-track method. Or, Prabhupada says, I'm having trouble following the regular principles, or I'm not very interested in following the regular principles, or I'm sort of up and down on the regular, but if I please the spiritual master, then it becomes possible. Then I make advancement in following the regular principles. Okay.
Do you have any experience with that?
I don't have any experience in that, no. I wish I did.
You're serving a spiritual master so much.
Hmm?
I know you've served your spiritual master so much and advanced over many years.
Well, you asked if I have any experience of becoming super advanced. No, he didn't say super advanced. Advanced by pleasing. Well, yeah, I mean, without the mercy of my spiritual master, I'd be out of the street. So this is advanced, you know, if I'm hanging in, at least I can claim that much advancement. And if I have that much advancement, it's only by the mercy of my spiritual master. Everything else, as I say, is gravy. Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that if one pleases spiritual master, then even though he may not follow and call it Buddhism meditation, as opposed to what he was asking, then you can still make rapid advancement.
Let's get very precise about it. Prabhupada said he becomes advanced without, even without following the rules and regulations. It doesn't necessarily mean that, he breaks all the rules and regulations. It means instead of having to make advancement step by laborious step by following so many rules and regulations, he becomes advanced quickly. That's the idea. Rules and regulations, it doesn't mean that even though he's having illicit sex, he becomes advanced and he becomes very advanced in spiritual realization. Even though he's, he never comes down because he's not a day of his life goes by when he's not high on something, still he's making so much advancement in spiritual realization. It's not like that. But the idea is that he doesn't have to follow so many, a step-by-step sort of, what would you say? There's a word. The routine. It's not that he has to follow all the details of the routine to make advancement. He's become advanced by a quicker method. He's learned, by satisfying the spiritual master, I'll make advancement. And in that way, he makes quick advancement. Maybe he's not so... Our whole Krishna consciousness movement, in fact, if you look at the early history of our Krishna consciousness movement, here's people who don't hardly know anything about rules and regulations. A proper Brahmin would look at them and say, oh my goodness. But what did they know? They knew that we want to please Srila Prabhupada. And from that, so much mercy comes from Krishna, so much spiritual advancement comes. And they surpass even people who know that, before I chant my Gayatri, I should do pranayama, and I should do this, and I should sit in this direction, and I should do this, and I should do that. They follow all these nice rules and regulations, but they don't develop attraction to Krishna. But a person who has the good fortune to meet a pure devotee and develop that desire, I just want him to be pleased with me. That person can move on a fast track. And by the mercy of the pure devotee, he also becomes now accustomed. If I want to please the spiritual master, I should follow this, I should follow that. At least the basic principles may be adjusted this way or that way. It's not that he says, all I have to do is please the spiritual master. Hell with the rules and regulations, they're a drag anyway. Rupa Goswami says a symptom of advancement is one becomes detached. What is that? Bhaktir Parasyano Bhavo Virakti Ranyatracha. The symptom of advancement is not how many attachments one can hold on to while he's running full force toward Krishna. Symptom is that because he's running full force toward Krishna, he drops the other stuff automatically. One way is to very carefully say, okay, now I'm going to drop this, now I'm going to drop that, now I'm going to follow this, now I'm going to follow that, and I'm going to do all of these things, A, B, C, D, everything. And the other way is just, I have to please my spiritual master. The result will come that way also. It automatically becomes attracted to hearing, to chanting, to following principles of spiritual advancement. That's the idea. More questions from our friends. Pushkar Prabhu. The microphone is coming your way.
Comment came to my head when you were talking about that. Reading Radha Dhamma over the last recently that at the 74 Rath Yatra, then Bhaktivedanta was demanding that Jayananda come to the darshan. So I believe it was 74. Anyway, he said, no, I'm too busy. And plus, I had to chant around whatever days, because he was just doing Rath Yatra 24/7. So anyway, he insisted that he came, and then everyone's sitting there, and Jayananda's like snoring in the back. And so Or was it, don't disturb him, he is doing more than all of you combined. I mean, he hadn't been to any chance rounds of five. So that, I think that's more like what we're talking about, not that Dr. Joe no longer follows the regs.
Our Dubu Chaitanya Prabhu also in Vrindavan, such a wonderful devotee. And he was the original cook for Krishna Balaram. When Krishna Balaram was installed in Vrindavan, he was cooking all the offerings. And he said to Prabhupada, I don't have time to chant all of my rounds. Or someone said, he's not chanting. Prabhupada just didn't care. Prabhupada didn't consider it. This man does not have to follow this. He's totally engaged in the service of Krishna Balaram. And not as a formality, but out of intense devotion, out of sincere devotion. When he got too old to cook, it took like 6 brahmacharis to replace that thing. So what you say exactly, when the person is not for Bhakti Joe, that, well, you don't have to follow these things, but when a devotee actually has a taste for serving the spiritual master, then everything's included. Thank you all very much.